Well, the great thing about being on today is we do have a preseason magazine in hand with Athlon. Very excited about that. Lindy's is still absent, shall we say, at this point. Hopefully they will be here around the corner. It used to be you didn't get anything until July the 4th. Now you just might have everything by then. But welcome edition of Athlon as of the last few days.
Yeah, I think Lindy's is next week, I believe. There'll be in newsstands. I've got the SEC Athlon one, and then I'm going to pick up the national magazine tomorrow. So, yeah, it is that time of year where college football magazines are out, and the season gets closer and closer.
No real surprise. Georgia, Bama picked to win the respective divisions, and then you've got your top five of Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and Georgia. I think we all probably thought that would be the case. Gator fans, you're in number 11 in that group. Notre Dame is at 12. Miami is at 14, which may be a little higher than some people think. And then LSU at 17. Texas at number 20. So that are a few of the highlights of the top 20 from Athlon.
Brent, we've got a number of big games week one, too. We're going to figure out a lot about this season right out of the gate based on the matchups. And, you know, I think in the battle, we've already claimed we should just call this the fake national title between Boise State and UCF, because those are like the only two teams that have been able to capable just claim it. Nobody else cares. But at the same time, I look at the matchups. I mean, you've got Georgia-Clemson week one. You've got Miami and Alabama. And it's a little different, Miami-Alabama, because Alabama, even though they're coming off an undefeated national title, they don't have a quarterback that everybody is guaranteed. We know he was good in California, but we haven't seen enough yet to say lock it in like we did with Tua and Mac Jones over the last couple of years. And Miami, Derek King, and the injuries he's had at the end, but when he was healthy, you know, he won at 1.9 straight games. So you're looking at a really good matchup there. Penn State, Wisconsin, both contender-type teams. And then, you know, then there's the intrigue factor of teams like Howell gets Virginia Tech right out of the gate. You've got Notre Dame, and is Mackenzie Milton going to be the old Mackenzie Milton against for Florida State, which he won 23 straight games at UCF. So that's huge. Ohio State, Minnesota, LSU, UCLA. It's just even Texas and Louisiana Lafayette. I mean, there's some really big games week one, and I think that's exciting for the fans.
Well, it is, and there's no doubt. And the LSU-UCLA game in the Rose Bowl is also a very intriguing game. I'm not saying UCLA can win that game. I don't think they will. LSU's got the better line of scrimmage, but I do think what is going on, it would be that you've got a UCLA team that came on late, and they're playing better football. No question, big weekend to start with. I think the Monday night game that no one's really talking about, Ole Miss Louisville, is intriguing to see the Rebels get off to a hot start with Matt Corral. So no question, as we get closer, and I think it's, 95, 94 days or 96 days, it's somewhere in there as we inch closer.
Brent, looking right now at what we saw today with the TJ Finley trade. It's not the biggest news, but this is a guy last year that was starting games for LSU at one point. He's a tall guy. He sort of fits the mold of what the NFL scouts look at, even though the intangibles, he has a lot of developing to go, but 6'5", 240 type guy. When it comes to Finley going to Auburn, is this a move where he's got a chance to compete against Bo Nix, or is this just maybe a future move that might work out? Because it seems like the last 12 years, Auburn has had quarterbacks like that from the guys we've watched transfer or the Joey Gatewoods of the world. It just seems they always have those guys that are on the roster that have intrigue to them, and sometimes it doesn't pan out.
Finley is 6'6", 240.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a big kid. People may have forgotten that. And he, when he got in last year, he did okay. He played real well against South Carolina, struggled against some of the bigger teams. I mean, he is an insurance policy for them. I'm not, but I'll say this, with Brian Harsin not having recruited Bo Nix, I'm not at all that sure that Finley would not have a decent opportunity to maybe even start or beat Bo out. He's gonna put some pressure on Bo. Look, let's be honest. Bo's not a great quarterback, or at least the thing that we saw was a situation where when Gus Malzahn was there, he did not develop Bo very well, and that's part of the problem here is you've got another situation where this will test very quickly how good Harsin is in developing quarterbacks.
Well, and piggybacking off of that, I think it was interesting what Finley told AL.com earlier in the month when he was debating this. He said, quote, not saying that they're promising me anything, but as far as the future is concerned, it's basically that I can come in and compete for the starting job, and if I were good enough to be that guy, I would be the number one guy. So it sounds like all possibilities are open in terms of TJ Finley coming in and battling with Bo Nix. Is that surprising at all? I think you kind of answered it already. It seems like there really might be a battle, though, in terms of who will start a quarterback at Auburn for this. And that is, and I want to get this correct, Brent, that is if the SEC votes to allow immediate eligibility.
Right, and they are supposed to do that either at the end of this month, or they're supposed to do it at the beginning of June. So that's really where they are with that, but that's precisely correct. And so you've got other transfers like Henry Toa Toa, the linebacker at Tennessee.
He's got a nice new car, too.
He won't be able to go out to Alabama until this is done. So, yeah, there's no question about that. This is all wonderful to speculate on, but until the chancellors are able to decide what to do with this, it's almost a moot point.
Well, Brent, we're getting that bad boy going from Knoxville to Tuscaloosa. You probably get there in about 45 minutes with that hot rod right there. I'm moving on. I know where I live, so I'm going to just keep my mouth shut and P's and Q's, go home and eat a happy dinner. But right now I'm looking at what you just talked about, though. It doesn't have to be autonomy, though, because based on the rules, if you're TJ Finley and let's say in a couple months they say, no, we're not going to allow immediate access, can't you, based on the rules, if the other conferences are, just go to the other conference? Like, be like, peace out twice. Be like, dip out, and then go to a team like, let's say, a Wisconsin or a Penn State.
He had Penn State and Houston as well on his list.
But can you do that? I mean, it, to me, doesn't it seem like it has to be autonomy between the Power Five conferences?
Yes. I mean, the reality is, Chad, here's the thing. The chancellors and the presidents, there's no way in the world that they can give the other conferences an advantage. But meaning, why would you not pass that and allow these guys to go to another conference? Now, again, when you're dealing with the chancellors and presidents think differently than we do, you've got that issue there too. But, yes, good point. He was looking at Penn State and was looking at Houston. So I just think we've got a situation now to where that it will get done. I just can't see it not getting done I mean, they would be, you'd have ADs, coaches, and I think Greg Sankey's very aware of that.
Brent, we don't talk a ton of college baseball, and really until the tournament gets here, but we still respect it. And, you know, as a college baseball, I don't even want to say that on air after a three-pitch career, but overall, just playing the sport growing up, it's one where I love baseball. It's a passion of mine. But the college, to get to the College World Series, we're going to see so many SEC faces based on that. At one point, they had 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the nation. But from what you've seen this year, the pitching staff and others, who do you really feel, the Arkansas, Tennessees, the Vanderbilts of the world, Mississippi States, who do you think is the best team going into the SEC tournament and into the regionals?
I would flip a coin between probably Arkansas and even Vanderbilt. Now, Vanderbilt was, basically had double-A pitchers. It's what it amounts to. So I would go with them. You still can't rule out Florida. They're not probably where they need to be right now by any stretch. But it's almost like softball in that the SEC is going to dominate it. That's just the way it's going to be.
And, Brent, real quickly, just because it is a national story, but you live there. You've watched this kid grow up. He's a great human being. And, you know, I know we live in a culture that people are going to get razzed one way or the other no matter what they say. But Tim Tebow is polarized. I mean, not polarized. I don't want to use that word. Is somebody that's very engaging. And I personally, you know, would hope if I had a son that they go through as a teammate what he's accomplished and persevering, even though the rest of the world thinks, even from baseball, Binghamton Rumble Ponies, like, what people don't get is he's not this guy like Eric Crouch or somebody else that at one point was a big name, a Jason White, and now maybe selling car insurance. Like, Tim Tebow's face is plastered everywhere. He can go wherever he wants and do a speaking engagement. He's going to be one of those kind of guys that can make whatever he wants the rest of his life. The difference is he's doing this because he truly loves the sport that much, and he wants to continue. He lives one life, and he's lived it through God, and he wants that opportunity to go on a field and do what he loves more than anything, and he's even willing to do it at a position that he's never played. But when it comes down to it, what's the reaction from your hometown right now? Are you? I mean, the season tickets are going up. The number one jersey sale in the NFL last week. But what are you seeing around Jacksonville?
I mean, it's mixed. There are a lot of people who loved him, and I hope he's going to be great. But the other issue is I also see people who are jealous of him, that think he has been favored and fairly. So it's kind of I think, more positive than not, but it's very unfortunate to some degree. But look, he'll get a chance. That I think that's all you can ask for.
How do you think his relationship will be with Trevor Lawrence? I mean, Trevor seems like a good guy, but he's also young, and this was sort of his spotlight that was quickly – it's like the guy that is supposed to play at halftime and the lights go out. And then, you know, they're like, all right, next person on the stage. And like, wait, we're the halftime show. But like Trevor Lawrence's fame from the draft to now because of Tim Tebow, you know, in the spotlight, the media has completely changed. But how do you think he's handling it? How do you think they'll get along? Because they seem like two great human beings.
They are, and I think they will be fine. I mean the reality of it is I think they understand that Tebow will probably be there maybe a year or two, whereas Trevor Lawrence could be there 10 to 15 years.
And Urban Meyer will be there as long as they keep winning.
Well, your reality for that is what's going to be the real test for Urban is when they start losing and they're 1-5. Or something in that effect. That's the real question with this.
That will be a fun story to see. Like, can he handle? Like, is he yes. Have a granddaughter that's playing volleyball now?
really?
Well, Brent, we could talk about this all day, but we're excited. Right across from us, I asked him. He actually got it shipped to him. He's Drew got a Tennessee magazine cover, and I was like, there's no way.
That was the Vols cover,
It's the Vols cover, but I was like, there's no way you got that around here because somebody
– correct.
We've got about 5 or 6 teams to choose from, and they're not Tennessee. But when it comes down to the magazines. It's going to be exciting next week to get to talk as the Lindy magazines will be coming out. I know you had a chance to be part of that for so many years, and the articles that I've read from you and everything. So, Brent, we're excited for this, and looking forward to talking to you next week, my friend.
Well, we're inching closer, to say the least, and almost into June, and with all that's changing right now between recruiting and the transfer portal, June is going to be anything but dull this year.
Absolutely. Hey, Brent, have a great rest of your Monday.
You guys too. Take care.